I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleague and friend Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, is here to comment on the Chinese, the People's Republic of China's Chinese Communist Party's opinion of Adam Smith. Gordon, Adam Smith, 1776, easier to remember, wrote a book and introduced the influence that has dominated world trade ever since, that it is better to trade across borders, permitting specialization. Not everyone makes the same gizmos with the same quality and the same resources. We have prospered for 240 years or more with the understanding that specialization is prosperity. The Chinese Communist Party believes that it will dominate the world's manufacturing, high-end, low-end, it doesn't matter, and that it will entirely be self-sufficient. It won't need anyone else in order to produce its products. Do they read Adam Smith in Beijing, Gordon? Do they understand that they're going backwards in our understanding of how trade works?
Yes, I think Chinese officials know Adam Smith very well, and they probably know him better than we do. The only problem is they're not following him. They do not believe in the notion of comparative advantage, which is what you're talking about. And the notion of comparative advantage is the fundamental principle underlining global trade, as you point out. So Chinese officials may know about Adam Smith, but they're certainly not following him.
We welcome our colleague Brendan Weichert to comment on an aspect of this. We're going to turn the story a little bit to the Chinese making allegations against the U.S. for cutting China off from trade. In this particular instance, it has to do with sanctions, and it has to do with the Biden administration following the same sanctions regime that the Trump administration followed. Brandon, of the Brandon Weichert Report, and author most recently of a book about winning space, how America remains a superpower. This is an aspect of that. Brandon, the Chinese Communist Party is accusing the Americans of cutting them off from access to high-end technology in this country, having to do with they'll now go out and find it there on their own or invent it for themselves. What is your measure of this recent complaint by the Chinese? Did they not see this coming, given their conduct? Good evening to you, Brandon.
Good evening, and thanks for having me, John and Gordon. I think that the Chinese regime is surprised by how significant of a move the Biden administration is making against them. I think there was some belief among the Beijing leadership that Biden was going to be softer on them than his predecessor, and happily, to my surprise, the Biden administration has actually continued and expanded upon a lot of the initiative the previous Trump administration made. So I think that they're surprised by this in Beijing. My hope is that the Biden administration builds off this and actually goes farther, and that actually in this new infrastructure bill that they're doing, the Biden administration actually starts pouring a lot more money into building out American high-tech research and development to complement the sanctions that they're now beginning to impose upon Chinese high-tech R&D access to American technology sectors. It's not just enough to cut them off in China. We've now also have to leapfrog them and build out our own indigenous capability, which, as you know, until recently, American tech firms have been starting to offload a lot of their R&D from the United States and the West into China. So we've got to not only cut that off, but we have to also incentivize these American firms to stay at home and do the research and development here. So this is a first step. It's a good first step. And Beijing, I think, was not expecting this from a Biden administration that they thought was going to be much more pro-China.
In particular, the technology has to do with what are called supercomputers. However, supercomputers are high-end products. And Gordon, I come to you about this because the Chinese are making threats, but then they have this twist on Adam Smith. This is from a Chinese spokesman, foreign ministry spokesman. Containment and suppression by the United States cannot stop the pace of China's scientific and technological progress, but will only strengthen China's determination and will to innovate independently. There it is, Gordon. They think they're going to invent supercomputers by themselves. They're complaining that we won't trade with them on supercomputers because we doubt that they're using them constructively. We think that they're using them with regard to the military, and the military is making war on its neighbors. However, the threat is they're going to do it on their own. We're back to that puzzle, Gordon. Do they not see the internal contradiction of their own rhetoric?
Yes, the comments you referred to, I think, were from Jolly John of the Foreign Ministry. And indeed, he said, and I think there's some truth in them, that this will give China further incentive to develop its own technology. The problem, though, is that these are more than mosquito bites. That's the term from Global Times, a Communist Party tabloid. Because China's supercomputers, although some of them are faster than ours, depend on U.S. chips. And the Commerce Department's action on Thursday, which sanctioned seven supercomputer companies in China, I think if they're fully enforced, are going to make it very difficult for China to go to the next level of supercomputers because they rely on our products.
Therefore, Brandon, and this is true in space technology, it's true in high-end everywhere, China
yes.
doesn't have the wherewithal, the know-how, to match the chip making in Taiwan, the United States, and Europe. It doesn't have it. Again and again, it takes time to develop that. They're claiming they're going to do it independently, unless that's a veiled threat to steal it.
Yes, well, that's the key thing. So specifically in computer chip technology, China is lagging behind the West, but a large chunk of the Taiwanese, the semiconductor manufacturing firm, a lot of their employees are actually scientists from mainland China. So it would not be very hard for the Chinese regime to get one of their scientists working in Taiwan to basically walk out of that factory that's producing semiconductors and offload the capability into indigenous Chinese firms. And that's the concern, is that there's really not much standing in the way between Beijing and them stealing the capability they need to become independent semiconductor manufacturers. And that's, we've seen that play out time and again in manufacturing, in artificial intelligence research, cloud computing research. If they can't buy it, they're going to steal it. And, of course, we keep making ourselves susceptible to the theft. And if it's not in the United States that they're stealing it from, it's one of our partners. And I would remind the audience that while China is behind in this area, they do have a lot of linkages, not just to Taiwan, but to Japan, South Korea, those semiconductor firms as well. And those firms are still doing business heavily with China. So it would not take much if China really dedicates themselves to it for them to get that manufacturing capability at home and then become a real threat to us. And so that's the rub. We can't just cut them off. We've really got to start out innovating them at home here in the United States.
All right. Adam Smith didn't write about piracy, Gordon. We know that. So if you break faith, you can do anything. I understand. However, Gordon, we've recently seen reporting in the Wall Street Journal. I appeal to you, Gordon, to help me understand this, where the high-end chip making in China turns out to be in the hands of a bunch of con artists. There were factories that were promised, I believe, right outside of Wuhan that turned into concrete mausoleums. So this chip making push that China keeps saying we're going to develop independently, it's, there's suggestion that there's a lot of funny money in China, and some of it flows to people who are thieves.
Yes, this is the weakness of the Chinese system, John. It's corruption, and it's also sometimes in state direction and state determination to do something. Sometimes they're successful, and Brandon has talked about this in a number of times, and where they've actually made a lot of advances. But sometimes it just goes all wrong. And the one place where it has gone all wrong so far is China's drive to try to build chip foundries and try to out-innovate the West on this. And they're a number of years behind, but as Brandon points out, they can steal, and they're very good at stealing.
Brandon, 30 seconds. All right, Potemkin chip making. They're good at that. Can they do the real thing? There's no evidence that they are going to devote the quality, time, and the money to develop real chip making. It's going to take them a decade. Do they have that patience? 30 seconds, Brandon.
Yes, they have the patience, and quantity has a quality all of its own. As long as they can keep neck and neck with the U.S. over the next decade, they think that they can leapfrog us. And if we don't invest more in our R&D at home, the Chinese will, because they want it more.
Brandon Weikart of Winning Space, Gordon Chang of at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.